What's up, everybody? Welcome into, I believe, the 53rd or 54th edition of the Sean Salisbury Show right here on the Believe Network. I'm Adam Sager. He's Sean Salisbury. Well, we've crowned the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl champions. We got what we didn't want, some controversy involving the referees at the end. We got a great game, which we asked for. I mean, that was a phenomenally played game on both sides. One mistake made the difference. We're going to get into all that. Our coaching searches are all wrapped up. We've got some interesting coordinator positions that have been filled, especially one in Miami that I think will pay huge dividends. And then a superstar quarterback. I don't know if I'd call him a superstar. A very, very good quarterback has been released and is now on the open markets. We're going to talk about all that. But before we do, as always, we're brought to you by Bet Online.
Yep, and basketball's here as well. It's back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You can find the latest odds and team matchup info, player news, game trends at Bet Online. And it's your continued source for all sports wagering information, like Bet Online features of live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. And always the fastest, easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events like we do, whether it's the NFL or NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf, which is in full swing now. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet Online, where the game starts.
As always, thank you to Bet Online. All right, Frank, 38, or Frank, I'm writing my uncle's name down, Sean.
It's okay, I figured.
38-35 Chiefs win, last second field goal. Jalen Hurts played out of his mind except for one play, the fumble where he just drops the ball trying to move out of the pocket. It's a scoop and score for Nick Bolton, who, man, if Nick Bolton wasn't one of the top three players on the field in that game, he was definitely one of the top five. He was all over the place on that field, and we talked about those linebackers. He's the one that stepped up, and he was everywhere on that football field for the Chiefs defense. But Patrick Mahomes didn't, you know, you talked about, is he going to come out and throw for 380? Can they win if he doesn't do that? Well, he didn't do that. 182 yards, 21 to 27, but he did have three touchdowns. And overall, they just played a flawless game, Kansas City did, and that kept them in it, and they got the defensive touchdown. And that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, and no turnovers.
Right.
And Pacheco did what I thought he'd do, run like a beast.
Yep.
And
he over 5.5 yards per carry.
That's exactly 70 yards. And Kelsey, what, 6 targets, 6 catches, 80 yards or whatever it was, somewhere in there. It was efficient, if nothing else.
Right. But when you protect that's the perfect word for it, efficient.
Right. They did. If they weren't going to throw 40 times to win, they did exactly what they needed to do to win. Get a few extra stops, strip sack, fumble for a touchdown, not turn it over themselves. Pacheco gets involved to keep the pass rush, which the biggest statistic in the game and probably the true MVP of the game were the 5 guys up front, no sacks. So that all those things, they added up to win for Kansas City. I also said last week, I said that we are going to find out, because I picked the Chiefs, and I know you did too, Segs. Mm-hmm. I had them by 4, you had them by 3, different scores. But that we would come out of this, if you didn't already know that Jalen Hurts was a superstar and a franchise quarterback, you would find that out in this game, win or lose. He was the best player on the field.
Is it real quick, game. Is he going to get $50 million this offseason per year?
Pretty close. Between 47, 48, and 53, somewhere in that range average. Yeah. And he should.
Yeah.
And I completely get it. Now, listen, we say that's crazy after 2 years, but guess what? That's see, for him, you're paying on potential, but also production.
Yeah.
Second full year of starting there in the Super Bowl, there in the playoffs last year. His statistics and numbers have gone up, and now they need him more than ever because you lost both coordinators. So it's going to have to, he's going to have to continue to shoulder some responsibility. The Chiefs did everything. Andy called another great game, as he always does. And the Chiefs, listen, it just goes to show you, as good as defenses can be, when you've got two good quarterbacks, 38 and 35 points against defenses that are really, really good. Chris Jones' name didn't come up much. Nobody on the pass rush for Philadelphia came up. It was honestly a couple few plays here and there and an unfortunate fumble. And we had a hell of a football game and a lot of good players on that field. And Pacheco came up, and unfortunately, and you mentioned Bolton played like a monster on
Yeah.
Sunday. It was great.
If it wasn't for the very end of the game where Kansas City held the ball on that final drive for the last, what, five-ish minutes, I mean, the time of possession, the fact that Kansas City scored 38 points in regulation with the amount of time they had the football was so damn impressive, because they were so methodical when they did get it that they hit the big plays. They were able to, you know, get the big punt return at the end. And it was just
another huge play in the game, Sags. A monster
right,
play.
Exactly. And
Sags, real quick, think about what you're saying about that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
no,
the
go
point
ahead.
We got to make, if I told you the Kansas City Chiefs were going to score 38 points, win the Super Bowl against a team that scored 35, and told you the longest play was from scrimmage was less than 30 yards, and I think
right.
it was 28, and it was Patrick Mahomes' run after the sore ankle.
After,
It
yep.
was longer than Kelsey's catch. It was longer than maybe it was Smith-Schuster. I can't remember. It was the second longest play of the game, or maybe one like a maybe it was a Pacheco run that was third. But Kelsey, I think, had a 26-yard reception, and it was Mahomes' run was the longest chunk play from scrimmage they had, and scored 38 points. That punt return was a monster turn late in the game.
Yeah,
Monster.
just to say what you're talking about. Mahomes' run was 26 yards. Pacheco had a
Okay.
24-yard run, and Travis Kelce had a 22-yard catch.
There it was. So it was 24. It was 24.
26,
26,
24,
24, 22 instead of
correct.
28, 26, 24.
Yeah.
But
Yep.
which even validates more. It was a 26-yard from
Right.
2 yards less on a scramble
And
by
what
a
does
quarterback.
everybody think about Mahomes?
Right.
Deep. Like, just because of all the Tyreek Hill touchdowns and Mecole Hardman and what they've done in the past. But this is just a different Chiefs team, and that shows you how good Andy Reid is. That shows you how good Eric Bieniemy was. That shows you how good Patrick Mahomes was. That shows you how good Isaiah Pacheco was. And most of all, like you said, that shows you how dominant that front five was, that
Yeah,
offensive line.
Sags, don't we get to a point where we're used to Kansas City being the quick strike, bite like a snake, and you die a quick death, right? I mean, you know,
Right.
that snake, right? But they prove now in this Super Bowl they can also give you the slow, methodical, and they while it was an end of the game win, but run it here. It wasn't the oh my gosh speed. I mean, just constant pinball machine,
right?
All over. This was a slower version. When I don't mean slower version of the team, but they proved to the world, like, we always want a finesse team to prove us they can be physical. We always want a passing team to prove us they can run winning. We always want a team that blows people out to prove you can win a low-scoring game. We want the low-scoring average team that just plays old-school physical football, that if they get into a shootout, they can win that game. The Kansas City Chiefs proved that they can high-scoring, yes, but beat you running the football, throwing it less than 30 times. If I just threw two quarterback statistics up on the board and didn't put their faces or their names next to it or their numbers, you would have said, oh, well, the Philly statistics, that's what Mahomes did throwing it in the game. And
right.
The 27 throws would have been the Philly statistics just in the passing game. 300-plus yards. I mean, it was – you would have flip-flopped it. Yet Jalen Hurts, who proved that he's a monster, and with his four accounted for touchdowns, and
yep.
Mahomes won without having to have the monster plays in the game throwing the football down the field. Impressive and efficient. Maybe their most efficient win I've seen from them, considering the circumstances.
Right.
Bless
All
you.
right.
Sorry.
Let's go to the elephant in the room, the one that everybody's talking about. And I don't know where you stand. I kind of have avoided your show this week just because I wanted to come on here and be able to say exactly how we felt about it without knowing where each other was coming from. I saw the play. I've watched all the angles. NFL Films, if you haven't checked it out yet, they came out with their, I think it was this morning or last night, talking about the play. And Sean, I understand why everybody says you can't make that call in that spot of the game, in that game, with the score the way it was and everything. But 99.9% of referees in high school, college, and the NFL see a jersey come apart, you know, like this, they're going to call a defensive holding. I mean, it's just, that's going to happen. And the DB, now I'm going to blank on his name, pulling Juju Smith-Schuster's jersey.
Bradbury.
I mean, Bradbury, yes. It was clear as day. And you know what? I don't want to hear about one play. You gave up the big punt return for a quick touchdown that let them back in the game. You gave up two touchdowns on the basically the same exact play, just on the different side of the field. One was on the left side, one was on the right side. And there was nobody near your wide receivers. Like, what were your DBs doing on those two plays? And then you let them back in, and you didn't put your foot on their throat when your offense did what they did. Your defense, who's been number one all year, couldn't stop them.
Up 10 points as well, had a 10-point lead. And Mahomes threw two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It's never one play. It may look like one play, but it's usually, what, 6 to 8 plays in a game. This call, that fumble, this poor punt coverage, that lack of sack, a punt return, and before you know it, you lose a game.
Right.
All right, and that's even considering Harrison Butker doinked one off the left upright.
Right, that's right.
And they still were able to pull it off. And I like I said, I think both these teams have brilliant futures now. Philadelphia's got a lot of free agents and got to replace two coordinators, but they're really good. So with that, I'll tell you where I stand is, and by the way, Philadelphia got away with one earlier because the hold on Juju Smith-Schuster on the dig route might have been worse.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, well, he didn't call that one, he called this one, they were both against the same team on the same cat that made the same play. Bradbury's a good player. And I love the way he answered questions and was honorable and honest after the game. No sweat there. Much, you know, thumbs up. If a wide receiver is pushing off Segs with his forearm and they're in a hand fight, or even if they're running side by side and the receiver throws a forearm a la Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, and Chris was a teammate of mine, they'll never call that on the offense, ever. Now, if Chris or Mike or someone, when they extend their arm, even if it's a slight touch, even if you don't touch the guy for the most part, they're going to call offensive pass interference. Right. If you don't turn and find the ball and you don't touch the guy, but you run a smash at the same time, he comes back, you hit him at the same time, but you don't learn to locate at the corner, they're going to call a foul.
Right.
Even though by our looks, like, come on, dude, they're both going for the ball. Got to find the ball. Old rule. This one. I understand in the NBA, well, they'd call that foul earlier. Why would they call it late? What if the Kansas City Chiefs, when they line up offsides, we said, well, it's only a quarter of a helmet offsides. I'm not, well, why give them the 5 free yards?
Right.
Well, you know what I'm saying? So what about that? So listen, the only people in the world that are happy they made the call are Kansas City Chiefs fans. The rest of the world's, well, we wanted a game, you know, or somebody that's gambling. Now flip it. If they don't make the call, the other half of the world is saying, or the whole world,
that's a penalty.
That's a penalty. How can you not call that in a biggest game like this? How do you miss that? You could see he clutched his jersey and pulled on it. So, yes, you can make the call, and yes, you should. It's the fact that umpires, we let it get out of hand in a strike zone. A fucking strike's a strike is a strike. If it's in the strike zone, I don't care when he calls it, call it a strike. It's the same in basketball. If I go to the rim and you only hit my forearm but don't hit my elbow and forearm, is it still a foul? Yes.
Yes.
It may not look like it's still a friggin' foul. It stopped the play. That interrupted the play. Now, who knows if it had been complete or not, but we never got to see because he held. And holding is much different than pass interference, right? One's a spot foul. The other one, you know, you get the automatic first down as well. So it was the right call. I mean, it's regardless of who you – I didn't have a skin in – I mean, a fight just where we picked. It was the right call. You can't do it. You extended your arm. And the sad thing was is for him that everybody saw where it was. It was out in the open. It's not like he was clutching and grabbing and tugging right around the inside of his jersey while they're running down the field. You extend and everybody saw it. So it was the right call. I think the referees overall, Segs, I think they did a damn good job in the game.
They got the drop by
Devontae Smith.
Yep.
That was the strip sack, the fumble catch and fumble. I thought it was a fumble from my initial look, but I get why they didn't think he made a football move. I get it.
They got the Goddard catch. The Goddard, which at first I said,
there's no way he caught it. He was bobbling the ball. They say he got the first.
He gripped it with possession. His foot still down. I mean, I thought they were fine.
So some of the big plays that mattered. So listen, football fans know we can bitch and complain all we want. The reason they lost the game wasn't it just the time it happened in was, but if they'd have flipped it and not called it, we'd be sitting here saying if Philadelphia wins, Kansas City Chiefs got hosed. They had a call. They should have called it, and they didn't, and they let it go. So you're not going to win either way. They called the rule by the letter of the law, and the rule was holding, and that's exactly what it was.
And the I don't want to say the biggest play of the game, but a very smart play in the game was Andy Reid not having his rookie in and having Jerick McKinnon in at the very end, where he went left side off tackle and was able to get to the two and slide down, not go in and score, get down and waste those, 43, 44 seconds?
Almost a minute, close to a minute, right?
Yeah,
right.
To be able to knock it down to about 11 seconds when they kicked the field goal, giving Philly basically zero time once the kickoff happened.
Yeah. Segs, there's a couple things about that too. First off, how many times have we seen people not do that? Mm-hmm. And we say, how could they be ill-prepared to do that? It obviously tells you what Andy Reid told them. They prepared and knew about the situation. If they didn't, and even if they did, that's a great high football IQ play by McKinnon, which you're supposed to do. It's thinking ahead, because anybody that plays in a Super Bowl not knowing when you'll be back obviously would say, I want to be able to tell everybody, say, I scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So it was brilliant. And it did, because you know what? I'm convinced that if Jalen Hurts has the ball the way he played, they're going down to score too.
Right.
And then at that point in time, if you're exhausted, you say, hell, we just drove down, made a great play. Let's go for two and in the friggin' football. I mean, in a Super Bowl, you say no way, but shit.
Yeah.
Who can tell how Shane Steichen the head coach, not Gannon, defense
Nick
coordinator.
Sirianni,
who's to say that they weren't saying, we got momentum, dude, let's go finish it right
well,
here.
Well, yeah, or who's gone for overtime on right. fourth down and throughout the year? It's been the Eagles. Right. So, yeah, I think they would have gone for it.
And if they get overtime, who's to say that they don't score, you miss out, and you end the game? You never know. So,
right.
Smart play by Kansas City Limit. You just take the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands. And Sags, you mentioned those two touchdowns that were wide open. It was a new level of brilliance by Andy Reid's play calling. Take the one on the right, for example. Normally, when we send a guy in motion, in short motion, where they call it zip or zap, depending. Zap mm-hmm. is return for us. Zip is short motion. Zoom, you zoom across the formation. Well, normally in short motion, when you cross another receiver that's stationary to go inside, you're either going to stop there and run that shallow cross, right? Come off a stack, yep. whatever it is, or something, push up the field. But you're going deeper inside. And then a lot of times, if you're going to return motion, you go to at least the tackle or the guard. Or sometimes, if it's a bunch set, you run to the quarterback and reverse out. You right. want him to think you're crossing the formation, put your foot in the ground at the 3-yard line and run a quick flat route or get off so there's a pick involved, right? You know what they did there, Sags? And they knew by studying tape. If you watch, I'll show you. If this is the outside guy and this is the inside guy, what they did is the motion came in and went back out. He started down. He passed. We call it passing it off.
Yeah.
Instead of you chase him, I'll pass it off to you, and you bump and go chase him, and I'll take the guy you were over. So they bumped it and passed it off. And while they were in the middle of doing it, instead of going all the way for them to get adjusted, right behind the receiver, he put his foot in the ground and ran back out to
right.
the flat. We normally yep. carry that farther. So what happened is both were going one way, foot in the ground, return motion, and it was done. And they're like, oh, my, you couldn't do anything about it. Normally, there's a chance to adjust the pass off. How do you come back and gone in further and come back? You know what they'd have done? They'd have repassed it back. He'd have yep. kicked it back to him. He'd have played outside leverage, and boom, there you go. Different style of play and a different possible different result on how you get it to him. But brilliant play call, because they saw, hey, they're going to bump this, and in the middle of the bump, put your foot in the ground and return while their momentum and get to the flat, and there was nobody out there. Brilliant play calling by Andy
and
Reid.
That was against Darius Slay, one of the best corners in the game that was on the outside that you said passed it off to the inside guy.
Begs, that's why you spend your whole year and you take these 2 weeks. You know, people run their base stuff, right? Other mm-hmm. than a few changes, you're not going to shit can your whole season, but you've been successful because you got Mahomes or Jalen Hurts. You're going to make adjustments. That is the perfect case of a Andy Reid brilliance of saying, you know what? Here's how we're going to beat that. We know how they're going to play us. They're not going to chase. They're going to pass it off
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the pass off, and their baton, you bump it. Don't go all the way in. Put your foot in the ground sooner and return. And now we got a chance to get there. And you saw there wasn't anybody in the picture screen when they threw that ball to the flat.
All right.
Wide open.
Either one.
Brilliant design. Brilliant. Yeah. Great study during the week.
All right. So you've mentioned it a couple times. Now let's talk about it. The Eagles lose both coordinators. Jonathan Gannon goes to Arizona to join Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And Shane Steichen goes to Indy to join a new quarterback and company, relieving Jeff Saturday from his interim coaching job. Let's start with the Eagles. If you're the Eagles, you have this team. You mentioned they have a lot of free agents. They need to figure this thing out. They need to figure out the quarterback contract with Jalen Hurts. What do you do now if you're the Eagles with your two Super Bowl coordinators leaving?
Well, Segs, I got to go find one, another thing. Similar, although he's a pressure guy, has Jim Leonard not been hired yet from Wisconsin? Have I not seen him hired yet?
Let's look it up. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Look, just like I've been begging for Todd Monken to get a – I said somebody ought to steal Monken from Georgia.
Yeah, we talked about that.
They went and stole Todd Monken, and you know what? If you're going to lose a good coordinator like Greg Roman, what he did to build stuff for Lamar Jackson, you couldn't have got a – if you're Lamar Jackson, it also tells me they're going all in on Lamar. You couldn't have got a better guy for what you want to do than Todd Monken coming to Baltimore. I'm just telling you, it's a brilliant move. So in this case, it's the same thing. I don't know why in a different thing. I've just been a big Jim Leonard fan, and if he hasn't been hired yet, I don't know why. Maybe he wants to stay in college or what have you, but he's just a pressure guy. We know that Rex Ryan's being interviewed, Denver, correct? Is it Denver? Yeah to go with Sean Payton. But with Philadelphia, on the offensive side of the ball, Segs, I know you mentioned the defensive side. I don't know where they're going to go with the defensive side of the ball. I don't know in-house if they trust the next guy that's on staff to be promoted to be the defensive coordinator. That's what you got to ask yourself. Or do you go out there and, you know, you take a guy and make him the assistant head coach defensive coordinator where you pluck him from another team? There are some good ones available. I'm a huge Jim Leonard fan. I don't know where they sit. And as far as defensive coordinators go, there'll be guys available. It just depends on, and you know how this is a lot of time. What's the relationship? Has Sirianni had a relationship with a guy somewhere where he's been in the past that says, let's give him a look. He's a linebacker coach here. Let's promote him and we'll take him. Maybe. So the defensive coordinator thing is a little more, it's a little different in Philadelphia because we don't ever hear of who's the backup just in case Gannon goes, who are they hiring inside? I don't know. I know their staff, but I don't know who they'd take inside.
Right.
I do know with the offensive coordinator that Brian Johnson is next in line.
Yeah.
And he's been friggin' good, and people have inquired about him to be their defensive coordinator. I mean, to be their offensive coordinator this offseason and have felt really good about him. He's been great for Jalen Hurts. He's been in the league a minute as a coach, and their relationship, it's grown. I think it's just natural if, in fact, Sirianni, and I would imagine he believes that if not, he could call the plays, I guess, Sirianni. But if you say Brian Johnson's done his time, he's ready to go, you would just promote him, make him the offensive coordinator, and you go right on in with the same verbiage and everything you want to do. So to me, the offensive coordinator's on staff. And if you want him to be the coordinator, but Sirianni says, I want the play calling back from Shane Steichen, and I'm going to take it over until I feel come, maybe. Or maybe says, Brian, you ready for this? Yep, let's go, dude, because you've been great with our quarterback. That seems natural to me. It's the defensive coordinator where I'm curious to where they're going to go look.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who that defensive coach is. Like you said, Brian Johnson just makes the most sense. And the thing we don't know, you mentioned, a lot of these younger coaches, we don't know where we know where they came from, but we don't know who they've connected with in terms of.
A lot of it's younger coaches they were on staff as GAs with somewhere else at a college. Or they were over there cutting tape and they were doing, and the next thing you know, Robert saw that group. You know, there's that same, you know, that offensive group we always talk about, that 28 to 42 group, right?
Yep.
Maybe there's somebody, or the key is us not being in the meeting rooms and seeing from it is, we can hear all the chatter we want. Since we're not on the practice field in the meeting rooms, you got it. That's a precious position, especially for a team that led the league with almost 80 sacks this year, 70 plus. That the guy who takes over, you'd kind of like the verbiage to be the same and him to think like Jonathan Gannon for a simple reason. Now, here's the other thing, Segs. What if all of a sudden Gannon says, I want to pluck one of you guys' assistants. I want you to be my defensive coordinator, and I'll make you the assistant head coach. Or what if he goes after Jonathan Gannon? Now, if you're the Eagles, you got to step right in and say, well, we want this guy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do to promote him and change his salary or in his title? So it's a crazy situation, but look how quickly you can like, uh-oh. But even though that, with all those free agents, And with two of your coordinators gone, it's a compliment, but in the back, it's a compliment in a great way because you were obviously really successful. It sucks ass if you're the Eagles because you're saying those two dudes who are calling plays and the 20 dudes that are free agents were a big part of our team moving on
Right.
to next year and keeping this thing rolling. So I'm anxious. They got their work cut out for them in that front office and the coaching staff to find out where they're going next. And they're going to have competitors because both coaches that are head coaches, we all want familiarity, Segs. I don't even just say our buddy familiar. So the Verge, hell, they could deplete the staff if they're not careful in Philadelphia. So you get now, if you're Brian Johnson, you're probably saying, well, I'm going to get three goes of it. Gannon, if he loves me, I can go there. Who's going to pay me the most and who's going to give me the biggest promotion? If Sirianni wants to keep me here, what a good problem to have if you're an assistant on that staff and you had a great relationship working with those two coordinators.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to watch. How about Shane Steichen going to Indy? Now, I know we're going to have months to talk about the draft, but we talked about last week. Indy is one of those teams that could look to move from 4 to 1 to get the quarterback of their choice at the top with a trade with the Bears. If you're just kind of looking at what Steichen's done this year, and I know Sirianni's an offensive guy, and so you don't know kind of what exactly Steichen's mode is because it could be a little different than Nick Sirianni. But do any of these three top quarterbacks in this draft stick out and say, he's a Bryce Young guy? No, he's a CJ Stroud guy. No, he wants the big physical, guy that can move a little bit and Will Levis. Do any of those guys stand out and say, Shane Steichen, that makes sense?
Segs, they all have. Here's a great thing. They all have something that if you could put it all together, Steichen would love the group, right?
Oh, yeah,
about
for
this,
sure.
You think about this, and I know everybody said, but I'm talking about with the way they do things and what he's used to coaching this last couple of years. You got the one who seems most likely is Bryce Young.
Yeah.
He's great with feet. He's run the RPO system at Alabama and run it to damn near perfection at time, right? I mean, he is really good in the inside zone, but the difference is, while he's a runner, he's not as physical on the edge and interior as Bryce Young would be. And you're talking about a guy who's, 6'1 or so, 6'1½ and about 225.
Right.
As opposed to a guy who's 6', 195. It'll probably be 200, 205 pounds or so when the season starts, somewhere in there. You got to ask. So he'd love that aspect of the urgency and the ability to read what they're – we don't have to teach RPO to Bryce Young. Verbiage, yes, but not the RPO. But – He's not the big frame. Now, if you had Bryce Young's ability with his legs and with his production, you say, well, give me Levis. This is a 6'3". He's more in the lower half when it comes to thick. He's more like Jalen Hurts. Now, if you want the pure, just straight, probably the best system pocket passer and the smoothest of the group, I mean, Levis has got potential through the roof, but we saw some scrambling ability from Stroud in the game they got beat by Georgia. But that's not natural for him. He's not a natural edge guy, Segs. He's okay, and he showed us something. But if you want the guy from the system, you're just going to drop back in New England Patriots, Tom Brady throw it. That'd be your guy, right? Because he's pretty accurate. He's put up production numbers. There's still a long way to go with potential, and he's a tall, big body. So the truth is there's something. For me, I don't know why anybody wouldn't like Bryce Young at the top, period, anyhow. I just don't. Other than the fact that you think he's too slight for you at 195 pounds and 6', but they do. And Levis is going to, like we've said, people are going to be, oh my gosh, look how big he is. And the sneaky one's 6'4", 235 pounds, and that's Anthony Richardson. But that's too far to go from where he's ranked to jump up to number one or two in this draft.
Yeah, and it just seems like he's a guy that's going to need a year.
Right.
The upside is
the
there.
The guy who they draft is starting next year, Segs. Yes, the guy they draft is starting. No
exactly.
Doubt.
Like I could see a team, let's just say the Panthers, don't move from 9. They stay at 9. They go get Jimmy Garoppolo for a year and still draft Anthony Richardson at 9 and say, you're going to sit a year behind and Jimmy G is just going to have to deal with it. But that's
this.
Something I could see.
Say, what if the Texans say, well, we're a ways away and we love Will. Let's say Will Anderson was off the charts, their favorite guy on the planet. Or you want to, he or Jalen Carter, and you said it too. Since the Colts jumped us and got Bryce Young, you go ahead. We're not drafting too. We're going to try to trade down. We'll take Will Anderson. And at 12, we'll try to. We'll take Richardson then because we think that he's got some great upside, but we're okay now. And then you can go shop the Jimmy Garoppolo or the veteran. Or if you think Mills can hold you over and you're not going to win a ton of games, but keeps you in that top 5 or 6 picks next year,
right?
Not a bad place to be in again. So there's that option. But he's clearly the fourth one unless one team falls in love with him.
Yeah.
But to me, I don't know. I've seen enough production for Bryce Young to know that he seems to look like a like what Philly was trying to do, meaning now what I would imagine the Colts is going to try to do as well.
Yeah, that makes
especially
a lot
with John
of sense.
And Jonathan Taylor in the run game, Segs, you got the chance to do both now. It's going to be interesting saga how that goes.
Yeah, and then looking at the other coordinator that leaves Philly, that's Jonathan Gannon in Arizona. He's got the toughest job because, I mean, Kyler Murray coming off the injury, we don't know exactly how it's all going to work, how long he's out. We'll have to see how he progresses with this injury, but he's got to find the coach that can unlock Kyler back to – remember those first couple games a few years back where he was the clear MVP? He was kind of just out there having fun doing his thing. And then since then, it's just been
a lack of preparation caught up to him, Sags.
A lot of chatter about his preparation, some injuries, some how much does he love football, to should he go back and play baseball? I mean, all this stuff started after those first 6-7 games, whatever it was, that 1 year. Are there any kind of coaches that stand out to you or a type of system that makes sense for Kyler Murray?
Well, you really want the truth, Segs. It's probably Greg Roman. I don't know if Greg Roman's been hired. So, I mean, if you're thinking along those lines, just on he changed a complete offense from Flacco to Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to take the next level to enhance Kyler Murray's skill set, wouldn't that be the wise thing to do? I mean, instead of going to, I mean, listen, if you're going to look for a guy who's like, for instance, if it was Norv Turner, let's just say Norv, for instance, right? Norv wants you to drop back, put your foot in the ground, go through your reads, get it out on time, drop back. I could go through the list of guys from myself in college all the way through Troy Aikman in the pros, guys that fit that mold, right? Where that's what Norv wants and boom, and loves to run the football.
More of like a CJ Stroud type guy.
Right. With that's exactly right, with the back. So for that, I'm thinking, okay, available. And I mulled this over. I said, okay, available. Now, it'll solve the problem, Segs, if all of a sudden he says, Brian Johnson, you're my assistant head coach. You're calling the plays as my offensive coordinator. Come to Arizona with me. Let's go fix Kyler like you did with Shane and stuff in Philly. That Segs, you can't live with him dropping 3-5-7 and a hitch from that area. It's right. Got to be get him on the move, do things, change his launch point, but still throw from the pocket, but you've got to create spacing for him and make it simple because I don't know if we're going to – listen, Kyler Murray has been a winner his whole career until he got to this point, these last year and a half, right? So I think you want to make it quarterback friendly. That doesn't. I'm not talking about player empowerment, but whatever's going to you're under contract. He's got a lot of money, so you better cater it to the point of what gives us the best chance of success. Maybe you scale down, you get some inside outside zone, and let him because he can throw it now. We know he can rip it, and he's got great feet,
yep.
and hopefully that the guys you hire can get him back in. Studying and realize in order to sustain a long career, you have to do that. But I'm thinking a guy like Greg Roman or somebody along those lines who understands this or snatching somebody from Philly, if you believe that's what that's the best thing to do. So, and if you're the Giants, you're grateful on the other side that both Wink Martindale, who was up for the Colts job, and Mike Kafka up for the Arizona job are both coming back.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because I saw that Greg Roman was going to interview along with Eric Bieniemy for the Washington offensive coordinator job. They're a team that I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. I don't know if Sam Howell's their guy moving forward and they're just going to go young or they're a
don't
team.
Don't they got to jump in with Derek Carr? Don't they got to think about Derek Carr?
Right?
Or try to trade for Garoppolo? Yeah, I left two teams. And I'm telling you, I think Tennessee's a sneaky one for Derek Carr as well. I do.
Yes. To me, it should be.
Because Tannehill may be gone himself.
New Orleans.
So we'll see.
Yeah, yep. New Orleans, Washington, and Tennessee should be all over. Unless Tennessee's just got this bug up their ass that they say, screw the Colts, screw the Texans, we're going to one. We'll give up a shitload of picks to Chicago to say, this offsets your drop 10 spots to 11. We'll give you first round picks for the next few years. We want our guy. We don't, you know, Malik Willis is not the guy that we thought he was going to be. And we're going to move on and we're going to go get Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or whoever they want. That's an interesting thing. And then real quick before we end this show on Friday, we'll talk more about Todd Monken in Baltimore, what he can do with Lamar, assuming Lamar's there. That's another situation I think we got to talk about. What is
another
Ravens
50 million
do?
Waiting to happen or a franchise?
Right.
Yep, no doubt.
Yep, so that's going to be an interesting topic this off season. But the Dolphins bringing in Vic Fangio to be Mike McDaniel's defensive coordinator, I think that's the assistant coach hire that could pay huge dividends next year in the AFC East.
Sags, aside from a player, like, for instance, if Lamar were to leave, if they let him go, there will be that would be the biggest player move this offseason. Rodgers, if they move him. Fair enough. One of those two. Aside from that, I'm going to tell you the two biggest moves in the NFL this year, this offseason, you're going to point to Baltimore and Monken. I'm just telling you, you are.
It just fits.
Yeah, of course, it's perfect. And you're going to say that the best defensive side hire, and he may end up being the best overall hire, is getting Vic to Miami. And there's a reason why like six teams wanted to stand in line for him. While he may not be a head coach, since I left the league and have known Vic when he was in the league, when I was in the league, everybody has coveted, and it's just bigger and bigger because everywhere he goes, they win defensively. And it is a great hire by Mike. He's a smart guy. I think Vic Fangio is going to make a world of difference with the Miami Dolphins. They've got players. Now they just need somebody that they feel is great doing what they want to do. I would think that that's going to be a really healthy situation for the Miami Dolphins.
And he's a guy that takes players that are good and makes them very good, or players that are very good and makes them great. And he goes back, he gets Bradley Chubb, who he knows from Denver. You know, that's going to be his main pass rusher that gets after the quarterback. But they have a lot of talent, especially in that front, that I think the big question is going to be Tua. Can he, you know, what's the concussion stuff all about? How does he play? Does he get more comfortable in this offense and he's able to stay healthy and those wide receivers continue to go nuts and the run game kind of picks up because the O-line gets better? And I mean, the Dolphins are a dangerous team depending on the quarterback.
And their defense will be better. I don't even care where 100%. They rank statistically last year. It's going to be better this year. And now you're going to get a full season with Chubb, who knows what Vic Fangio is all about. I think it's a brilliant hire. I hold him in tremendously high regard as a D coordinator, and I know a lot of other people do too. The league does. Football does. He's one of the elite guys on the defensive side of the ball in this league.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. Like I said, we got a ton to talk about. Rodgers is going to start his retreat on Friday, 4 days in complete darkness for 24 hours a day. Good luck.
Another thing to talk about, Segs, is also Brian Flores saying he turned down the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job to go and be the coordinator in Minnesota on a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's odd. And will Eric Bieniemy, if they Washington offers him a job, will he get out from under the Andy Reid umbrella, go carve it himself? He's been to 17 interviews, Segs, 16 with different teams as a head coach.
Right.
He hasn't got one of them. So would you leave Andy and Pat Mahomes to go be the coordinator there to fix that yourself? Got a lot to talk about on Friday.
Yeah, a lot to talk about. And Derek Carr, where does he end up? And Aaron Rodgers, where it makes sense for him. We got a ton to talk about as the offseason is just getting started in the NFL. All right, thanks to Bet Online. Thanks to Believe. We will talk to you guys later this week.